Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's Intentional Ground. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome into Intentional Grounding. It's finally, finally game week.
About time.
Oh, man. From where have we been? We've Mobile, Alabama to Indianapolis to
5 days in New England, which wasn't bad.
New England, Florida for the owners' meetings.
Yeah.
It's been quite the year for Intentional Grounding, and we are very pleased that you stuck with us through the offseason to finally get to this point, as it is game week. Bears and Texans in Houston. This is episode 46 of Intentional Grounding, the Doug Plank episode, of course.
Easy choice.
WGN teammate Doug Plank.
Should have had him on.
We should have. We screwed that up. We could have. You can hear Doug Plank. I know he's doing Mondays with Justin Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. The Download.
Yes, and he'll be doing some other things with WGN Radio throughout the season. So you'll be hearing him. You can follow us on Twitter as always at Adam Hogue HOGE at Adam Johns JAHNS WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. That's where you can read us. And if you still haven't found the podcast on iTunes, search Intentional Grounding on iTunes. Find it there. Subscribe, rate it, review it. We appreciate you doing that. All right. Let's start with the news, both in terms of the Bears, which we'll get to in a second, but also this very podcast. Because I teased it a little bit on Twitter this week. We do have a show announcement, which I'm very excited about sharing with you. Now, you may remember last year we did these on Tuesdays. It is now Thursday, and there's a reason why we waited till Thursday to record this episode, and that's going to be when we record these episodes every week. And that's because we're making this more of a preview show. We're going to expand a little bit past the Bears. We're going to get to some other games around the NFL. And even at the end of the podcast, get into a little bit of college football talk and previews for some of the big games every week.
Expect lots of Wisconsin talk from my friend here.
Not this week. Not Akron. That's not worthy of our intentional grounding game.
You want to recap their impressive win at Lambeau?
I talked to J.J. Watt about it yesterday. It was fine.
Yeah, you guys are BFFs.
We get to that story a little bit later on, too. So if you're a college football fan, that's going to be towards the end of the podcast. We'll sneak in for you. But there's a reason why we're waiting until Thursday. And that's because got a little bit of breaking news. By the way, you laughed at this soundbite last time.
This one?
Do you know what this is from?
I forget now.
It's from Anchorman.
Oh.
It's the Anchorman breaking news soundbite. That's why I like it.
Well, do the voice. You have to do it in the voice now.
Of Ron Burgundy?
Of Ron Burgundy.
I can't do Ron Burgundy.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. You do it.
I can't. Not even close. You radio guys have all the impersonations now.
Not Ron Burgundy. I'll work on it for next week. We are going to be expanding to two shows a week during the regular season. That is why we are doing more of a preview show on Thursdays. After games, immediately following games, I still don't really know how we're going to do this, but we're going to do it because we're very busy after games. But we are going to give you a post-game episode every week. From wherever we are, whether it's at Soldier Field or this Sunday in Houston, we're going to take the time immediately following the locker room and, you know, sneak it in with our writing and all the other responsibilities we have after the games to get you a post-game episode. Now, they're not going to be a full 45 minutes or an hour, whatever we do for these preview shows. They're going to be a little bit more abbreviated, probably more like 20 minutes, but it's going to give us an opportunity to immediately react to every single game.
Well, plus some audio from Jay Cutler, yes. Post-game reaction, John Fox reaction, stuff that gets maybe lost when we get to midweek here, and they want to flip the page, we want to flip the page. Now you get instant reaction coming out of that locker room, whether it's good or very bad.
Right. We'll see what it is this week. We're about to talk about that a little bit and dive into this week's game against the Houston Texans. So very excited about that. I hope the listeners of this podcast appreciate that we're going to two episodes a week. And this allows us to do a little bit more with this preview episode every single week. And you're about to hear that right now as we dive into some of the games this week and previewing just beyond the Bears as well. This is pretty much the format you're going to get on Thursday. So we hope you enjoy it. Let's start with some of the news coming out of Hallis Hall yesterday. Some very, very interesting comments from Vic Fangio, I thought, on Leonard Floyd. And maybe some of it was taken out of context a little bit, so let's provide some of that context. Mm-hmm. But if you just heard this...
Overall, his camp was kind of choppy, you know?
Or this...
Like I said, because of those things I mentioned in training camp, I don't think he's in the greatest condition right now.
You go...
What?
What?
He's a bust?
Calling Leonard Floyd out. I didn't get, if you listen to the whole thing, that's not really what Vic Fangio was doing. And I appreciate, I don't know about you, there's not a whole lot of honesty
love
coming out.
Love that he's candy, man.
Not a whole lot of honesty coming out of Hallis Hall. So I love our time with Vic Fangio every single week during the regular season because he's willing to say things like that. And the reality is, all he did there was 100% accurately describe Leonard Floyd's preseason.
Right. It was the truth because it wasn't great.
It was choppy.
It wasn't awful. Somewhere in between. Choppy's a good word for it because he showed you the flashes of his speed and his finesse and all that. But then he got overworked. He got overpowered by some of these offensive linemen. And then he was in and out of the lineup a lot for various reasons. He was sick. He tweaked his hammy. He had a bum shoulder for a little bit. A lot of things happened to Leonard Floyd to deter his progress. And that's really all Vic Fangio was saying.
And here's a little bit more context, because he came around, he was asked about it once again towards the end of his press conference, because he said, I forget who asked the question, but it was basically like, Vic, you realize that what the fans are going to think when you say these things. And this was Vic kind of clarifying things and adding some context.
No, I'm disappointed that, yes, he got sick, missed a few days of practice. I'm disappointed he dinged his shoulder, missed a few days of practice. Disappointed he tweaked a hamstring and missed 4 or 5 days of practice, and you know, you got to be careful with a hamstring that then become a four-week injury. So, yeah, I'm disappointed that happened, but I'm not mad at him. I mean, that's just, you know, he didn't do it on purpose. But it has retarded his development a little bit.
Again, more honesty. Yeah. But it all has to do with the injuries. He wasn't completely available in the preseason, mm-hmm. and it's like Fangio said, it stunted his growth a little bit.
And even if he did have more of a preseason, this season was going to be all about growth. I mean, the guy is still light in the pants. What do you say? He's two pounds off his targeted weight. So, yeah. You know, that's going to fluctuate and come and go. You know, he's still learning power moves. You know, he's still learning how to beat offensive linemen with his hands. So even if he did have more practices in the preseason, it was still going to be an up-and-down year for him. I mean, Vic Fangio will find a role for this guy, but he's going to have some growing pains.
And look, Leonard doesn't say a lot, but I did catch up with him in the locker room, as I know some others did as well. Not really a fair position to put him in because he didn't really have any idea what Vic Fangio had just said about him. But I did ask if Fangio's been riding him a little bit in practice.
I wouldn't call it riding, just more trying to get me ready.
So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, Vic Fangio has his own way of motivating. He's not Curtis Johnson loud. He's not Dow Loggins loud. I mean, Fangio has that. I mean, he's got that genius aspect to him, and he's just very direct. And I think some of these players appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, what Vic Fangio did certainly yesterday was temper expectations for the opener with Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
So it's
maybe even for the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Now, we can go off and have another discussion about whether or not that's okay. He is a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And you expect those guys to contribute right away, especially with Pernell McPhee not playing for the first six games. Probably seven, because week seven's that Thursday
game.
See,
I mean, he is going to contribute. It's not like they're going to keep him off.
Well, he'll
field.
Play.
Yeah, he's going to play.
But it's mainly going to be the Lamar Houston, Willie Young show.
Yeah, Sam Acho will get in there and run downs, you know, in reserve roles. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah. The other big news yesterday coming out of House Hall, we've kind of known for a few days this was coming, but it wasn't made official yesterday. Kyle Long, a four-year extension on top of already having 2 years left on his current deal, mm-hmm. as they picked up his option before this, back in the offseason, his fifth-year option. So you're talking about him being under contract for six more seasons as a Chicago Bear through 2021. And I don't think this could make any more sense for the Chicago Bears.
Highest paid guard right now, I think, or will be once this extension kicks in. Right. I haven't seen the finer points of the contract as
it's roughly through. $10 million a year.
Yeah, $30 million guarantee. I mean, he deserves every penny of it, in my opinion. This guy, like they said, is a big piece of their foundation going forward. He is just a special player. Three-time Pro Bowler. I think those all-pro recognitions are going to come. He's only going to get better at guard.
Yeah, and look, this goes right in line, too, with kind of what Ryan Pace and the New Orleans Saints used to do, even when Aaron Cromer was on staff there.
Yeah.
That's why the Bears have actually been doing this for a while now, because Aaron Cromer brought this to the Bears when he came over, which was sort of building this offensive line inside out, which is something that, you know, Ryan Pace was a part of with the Saints, and I think he believes in it here. That's why he goes out and pays Josh Sitton. If you look at this week, it's crazy. Cody Whitehair, to me, looked like he was ready to play week one.
Yeah.
Maybe not ideal to have a rookie out there, but he looked capable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Despite that, you throw $7 million a year, roughly, at Josh Sitton, giving him a raise over what he was getting with the Packers, and then you give $10 million a year to Kyle Long. Now, it's not exactly what it all comes out to this year. It's not like $17 million is really
what
that total is, but if you kind of look at it that way, the Bears coughed up $17 million a year to two guards when they already drafted a rookie in the second round. That's not a criticism. That's just showing you how the Bears look at this and what they believe in, and also understanding that, hey, as many times as Ryan Pace talked about how he liked the depth he had, and he told us that on this podcast a few weeks ago in New England, the reality was the depth wasn't really there.
Yeah.
And they go out and make this move
and
this week with
Sitton. I mean, he got an opportunity to improve that depth significantly. I mean, now Ted Larson is your reserve guard, and they've thrown nice money at him as well, you know, during the offseason when they were pursuing him in free agency.
Who do you think starts at center?
Cody Whitehair.
You think Cody's starting?
Yeah. Yes.
That's very interesting. Rookie.
But he's not going to be handling the calls, though. I mean, yes.
But that's still part of your responsibility.
Right. But he's got, look, I know Josh Sitton's getting used to what the calls are for Dow Loggins offense, but Kyle Long, he downplays it a bit, but he's taking ownership of that offensive line, that room, the direction it's going in terms of getting everybody in line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good situation for Cody Whitehair. Now Ted Larson may start. I mean, but Cody Whitehair, now with Sitton and Long at guard, he has to be your long-term solution at center, right?
Well, this is a great segue, because this gets us right into this game preview, and this is how we're really going to do it every week. You may remember we did bold predictions and game predictions last year. We'll continue to do those, but we're also going to bring two big questions to the table each every week as we look at these games. So we got the Chicago Bears at Houston Texans. The Texans is a 6-point favorite. This game will be on Fox at noon on Sunday. My first big question is the offensive line, mm-hmm. and really what it looks like. I agree with you. That's probably Cody Whitehair starting, but I'm fascinated by this. You look at the interior of this offensive line Sunday. You have Josh Sitton, who was a Packer a week ago.
Yep.
Hasn't played a down with the Bears preseason or ever. He's going in there week one. Brand new guy that you're plugging in. They're a very capable guy, but hasn't been doing it. You have Cody Whitehair, who, other than very limited practice snaps and two series, was that the first preseason game?
Yes.
The first preseason game.
And that was not good for him at center.
It looked bad.
Yeah.
Two series against the Broncos in the preseason. It looked bad. He's going to be starting at center. You have Kyle Long, who has been out for a while since the second preseason game and has a labrum injury that's still there. I mean, it's still a lingering thing, and we'll have to see how that looks like when J.J. Watt is – you know, J.J. knows that shoulder's there, and he's going to be going after it. So this interior, what I like what the Bears have done, can it gel in time by Sunday? I just can't see that happening.
Right.
It's a big question to me.
The small picture is no, it's not going to gel quite well. It's going to take time for those guys to find chemistry, continuity, all those things. Big picture, This is an offensive line that could be significantly better than it looked, not only last year, but at the beginning of training camp. The Josh Sitton...
Well, hell, Sunday.
Yeah, it's just going to be... It's going to take time. And yes, Kyle Long's shoulder is disconcerting. We'll see how he handles the pain and whether or not how serious it becomes as the season goes. But let's be positive for a moment. Let's say he's able to handle it the entire year for most of the year. That interior offensive, of the inside of that offensive line, becomes a strength. Cody Whitehair is going to get better. Sitton's going to be more comfortable. We already know what Kyle Long can be, even if he is hindered a bit. He's played through injuries before. Maybe not as serious, but he's had his hand casted up and he's played through it before when he's trying out at right tackle. This offensive line could be a positive for the Bears. It could be
eventually.
A strength. Eventually. Yeah. Small picture, this game, yeah, J.J. Watt, Vince Wilfork could have their way at times against them. But in the big picture, week six, week seven, this could be a very big strength for the Bears.
All right, my second big question, who the hell is returning kicks and punts? This is, I mean, it's very interesting.
Yep.
You have the Bears cut Mark Mariani, who was going to be the punt returner, and Deontay Thompson, who's your kick returner, is still hurt, limited, maybe back out there by Sunday.
Right.
Now, if he plays, he's going to be the kick returner most likely. Do you also have him return punts, or do you go to Eddie Royal, who hasn't done this regularly since he was in San Diego?
Yeah. I mean, well, here's the thing. Mariani was still your number one punt returner, even though Deontay Thompson was on it.
Well,
the
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That shows you that they didn't really have much faith in Deontay to return punts.
Right. I know Bryce Callahan's had looks, but the guy's dealing with a hamstring and groin injury. It is a big question. I mean, Devin Hester just got paid somewhere else.
I talked to. Yeah, he ended up in Baltimore.
Mark Trestman.
Yeah,
brought him back. That was the final. You know, that's the he was probably the final sales pitch right there.
I'm sure
Trestman,
he was.
Come back. Yeah.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
I talked to Eddie yesterday. Asked him when the last time he regularly returned punts, and he was like, he laughed and was like, regularly.
Yeah.
And he had to, like, really think about it. And he was like, well, I did it a little in San Diego. But really, the last time he did a regularly, like, full-time punt returner was in Denver.
Yeah.
Now, that was with Jeff Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
As his, I believe Jeff Rogers was there as the special teams coordinator.
There's 1 year, though, right? Only 1 year?
Yeah. I think it was his last year. I think it was Eddie's last year in Denver. And they tried other guys out at that spot even that year. So...
It's a mystery, man.
Here's a name.
Yeah.
Here's a name. Cravon LeBlanc.
You think so?
I don't know. And unfortunately, I have a huge missed opportunity, and maybe I'll try to follow up with him today. I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah. He's not a big guy.
I just hadn't had enough time to really dive into his history before yesterday, because it's been a busy few days. So last night I was writing up what I talked to him about, more so just about his weekend and how crazy it was getting claimed by the Bears.
Yeah.
And I was going through some of his draft notes, and it dawned on me, he handled punts and kicks for Florida Atlantic last year.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't know is, were the Patriots trying him out there? Was that something he was working on? And again, like I said, missed opportunity there. Had I known this yesterday, I would have asked him myself.
Don't the Patriots kind of rotate Edelman and Amendola when he's healthy back there?
Right.
Punt returner?
Right, but you know how it is in training camp.
Yeah,
usually
you
have five or six guys back there just for the hell of it. I just wonder in the Bears' evaluation of this, because Ryan Pace told us the other day that they looked at him closely coming out of college.
Yeah.
Return duty, something that, is that a reason why they claimed him?
Yeah. Could be.
It could be. I'm just drawing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's something to watch. If Deontay Thompson can't play, who's the kick returner?
Right.
Eddie Royal's not going to return kicks.
No. Well, he's your number three receiver, even though he hasn't played.
Thompson got hurt in New England.
Right. So.
Anyway, so I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. He was doing it last year. He was their full-time punt and kick returner at Florida Atlantic. Cravon LeBlanc.
Wow. All right, let's get to my first question.
Go for it.
When will Kevin White play like a first-round pick?
Who?
I think he's going to have his struggles early on. You know what? The last preseason game was a great sign for him, a good step. He got some confidence, I think, from it.
And the Browns did have their starters on the field early.
Right, they did. I think by week 6 and 7, you're going to see something special from Kevin White. I think physically, he's fine. He looks impressive. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. But all those physical attributes, he's still trying to harness them into what an NFL receiver should be. You still see him learning, right? But by week 6, 7, 8, week 9, he's going to be something special for the Bears.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's going to be a slow start, too.
What do you got over under on his yards? Let's say 900.
For the season?
Yeah. Can he hit 900?
That seems lofty.
I mean, even if he has 60 yards a game, I'm no mathematician.
Well, he is going to have big playability.
Yes. He gets 60 yards a game. He can finish with 1,000, right? Yeah. Get out the calculator.
I gave up math a long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 60 yards a game is what you're saying? 60
yeah.
times 16, 960.
Okay. See? I think 900 yards is a good over and under for him.
Okay. I'm going to say just under. I think he's between 800 and 900
okay.
for the season.
You think that would be a success for him?
It depends how he looks. I mean, it also depends on how big of a year Alshon has. I mean, if Alshon has a...
Well, I think Alshon's going to have a monster.
Well, and if he does, then I think that's fair for Kevin White to be around 900. And as long as he looks like he's improving in terms of the route tree and his ability to get off jams at the line of scrimmage, then I think that's a positive step. It's still his rookie year.
Yeah.
It's still his rookie year. Now, he needs to accelerate a little bit. He's having an accelerated rookie year because it's technically his second year
right.
in the league. But from a gameplay standpoint, he's a rookie.
But you talked about Leonard Floyd being a top 10 pick and having to contribute.
Yeah.
Kevin White's in that same boat.
I agree.
Number 7 yeah. pick. More pressure because he missed all of his rookie year.
Yeah,
he has some knowledge a little bit, you know?
And nothing gets a GM criticized more than first-round draft picks not playing well.
Right, right.
And if both of these guys don't bring decent contributions to the team this year,
mm-hmm.
then the heat's going to start on Ryan Pace right away. Despite yes. the fact that a lot of his other draft picks have been really good.
Right.
Second, third, fourth rounders. I mean, you're starting a fourth round pick at running back. I think your third round pick from this year is going to be starting sooner than later
yeah.
and playing a lot. Jonathan Bullard.
Eddie Goldman.
Your second round pick yeah. is starting at center, we think, this week.
Yeah.
What about last year?
Eddie Goldman.
Eddie Goldman, you're starting Amos. Nose. I mean, yeah. a lot of these guys are starters and yep. look like legitimate players.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you still got to hit on those first round picks, and especially top 10 picks.
Okay,
right.
My second question. This is more of a statement. I have no idea what to expect from Dow Loggins.
Yeah,
I know he's called plays before in Tennessee, but that's. That doesn't do anything for me. Like that was rebuilding years or bad years for Tennessee. You know, mm-hmm. now he's got a veteran head coach expressing a lot of faith in him to get more out of Jay Cutler. He's got quite the combo at receivers. You know, he's got a lot of moving pieces on the offense. We talked about the offensive line. I think Jeremy Langford will be fine as a player. But I have no idea what to expect out of Dow Loggins this year.
I think that's completely fair. You always dumb down the playbook a little bit in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's... I was having a conversation yesterday, actually, when I was at Northwestern practice with Ted Albrecht, who does our color on mm-hmm. the broadcast. And he was asking me about, you know, what you really take away from the preseason. And I always tell people, to me, it's always about the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Individual play. And sometimes I'm willing to expand out to individual units before I make grand. But in terms of the offense, like, I don't care that the Bears' offense looked awful at times.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Okay, that third preseason game, their dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
Their offensive line was in flux, right?
In flux. It looks completely different now.
Yeah.
And
their starting center that day is on a practice squad right now.
Yeah. And you're still not showing what you're really going to do.
Right.
I mean,
right.
they're not running Kevin White routes like they're probably going to
run
in the regular season.
The Bears' offense got they were beating the Patriots when Jay Cutler was in the game. Mm-hmm. I know what Cutler said, that the Patriots being pretty vanilla with their looks and stuff like that. But they so the produced, Bears. You know, so was, the, you know, yeah. Again, it goes to individual aspects. And man on man, Cody Whitehair was at the second level eating up linebackers. Yeah. Kyle Long was at the second level eating up linebackers. Jeremy Langford is being patient, reading the cuts, and breaking down field. So there were some positives. People, like, forget about that Patriots preseason game. And I know this is all about Loggins and not knowing what to expect from him, but in terms of the preseason, oh, the Chiefs game was awful. I get it. But that Patriots game was pretty impressive. That whole week against the Patriots, the Bears, I thought they held their own.
Hey, and by the way, on the offensive line, there's somebody that no one talks about, and we haven't even mentioned his name yet either. Charles Leno might actually be a really good left tackle.
Yeah, I don't care what Pro Football Focus says.
Oh, I don't either.
You know, this, he is, Dan Pompey had a piece. This just shows you how out of whack Pro Football Focus can be with, like, the scouting world. And Charles Leno was a focal point, a talking point with these scouts, and they kind of raved about this guy. Called him a steal, a hidden gem they got. You know, it was a seventh-round pick a couple of years ago.
And we know how the Bears feel about him.
Yes.
I mean, Dave Magazoo said he was so underrated.
Yeah.
And I agree. No one talks about this guy. And I still get tweets, I'm sure you do every single day, about, oh, is Kyle Long going to move to left tackle?
Not going to happen.
No. Charles Leno, if he plays just okay, is going to be this team's left tackle for a while, I think. So don't forget about him. All right, let's move on as we dive into some of our predictions for this game.
Bold predictions.
Oh, it's good to hear that sounder again. My bold prediction. The Bears forced two turnovers in this game. Maybe even more. At least two turnovers in this game against the Houston Texans. I actually liked what I saw from that standpoint. The Bears stressed this all offseason. Getting takeaways. They did it early and often in the preseason when the starters were out there. I think they have more playmakers in this. Well, we'll have to see about the secondary. That was another thing that Vic Fangio was honest about yesterday, was that he thinks his front seven's better, and he basically said the secondary's about the same.
Yeah, but they're young, though. You got two second-year safeties.
But better front seven equals more turnovers, usually, because you put a quarterback under duress, and this has a lot to do with Brock Osweiler. Yep. As I look at this matchup, I'm not convinced that Brock Osweiler's good. Yep. I'm just not.
Well, he could be good.
He could be.
Is he any good in week one?
Boy, the Texans took a huge gamble.
Yeah, yeah.
Paying him a lot of money when he's not that experienced.
I think Bill O'Brien knows a few things about quarterbacks.
I love Bill O'Brien.
But this is, people are like, oh, Brock Osweiler beat the Bears last year. You know, that was the Super Bowl winning Denver Broncos. Gary Kubiak knows a few things about quarterbacks, too. He wasn't asked to do much. That Denver Broncos defense had that game in hand. And you know what? And the Bears, they were in that game. Except the Denver Broncos defense is pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I wrote this in my 10 Bears things, which you can find on WJRadio.com. It's a lot different when you are the guy with all the pressure and you have the big contract. Things change.
Yeah.
There's a lot more pressure on Brock Osweiler, I think, right now in Houston than there was in Denver. And that's kind of crazy to think, because he was filling in the shoes of Peyton Manning. Yeah. But I think, for the most part, fans probably just were hoping Brock Osweiler could, you know, keep the ship steady.
Right, yeah.
And that's what he did. He played a big role in them getting to the Super Bowl. But it's a different situation here. So my point is, I think the Bears are going to get some pressure on him. I think he's going to be rattled a little bit. His first big start down there in Houston. And I think there's two turnovers in this game that the Bears create.
All right, my bold prediction. And get ready for this. This may fire you up a bit.
Okay.
I know you and J.J. Watt got all friendly yesterday on the conference call talking about Portillo's and Wisconsin beating LSU. Yada, yada, yada. He touches Jay Cutler only once.
Like,
only gets him on the ground once.
So you're saying a sack or a quarterback hit.
Quarterback hit. Just whatever it is. Just once.
All right.
Now, that doesn't mean that Vince Wilfork, Whitney Merciless, Jadeveon Clowney, doesn't mean they don't rattle Jay Cutler. But I think they contain a J.J. Watt who is only, I mean, he had back surgery for a herniated disc in late July. I don't think he's going to be what he thinks he's going to be in this game. Yes, he's going to be, look, 75% of J.J. Watt is better than a lot of players in this league. But this offensive line, I think, with Dow Loggins, they're going to make it an effort to limit what J.J. Watt does.
Okay. Well, you know that's going to be the focal point in practice this week and has been. And, man, even one quarterback hit.
Come on, get it out.
No, I'm not.
You're a Scott Badger's for life. Let the inner badger of you inside you just growl its way out.
I'm not that angry about it. It's fine.
Predictions.
Houston 23, Bears 20.
Bears 24, Texans 20.
Wow. Calling it out right there.
This was a 3-point spread. J.J. Watt gets activated, goes up to 6. I get it. He's a game-changing
Think about that, dude. Three-point swing on the spread. You're saying he only gets Jay Cutler on the ground once.
Yes.
That's not 3 points.
Yes.
So you're calling for...
That's why it's called bold. Yeah.
Well, we're on to game predictions. You don't have to be bold anymore. Oh, yeah, the J.J. Watt was bold. Yeah, okay.
Again, my...
It's bolder than my prediction. 2 turnovers.
I like the Bears in this basically because they're playing Brock Osweiler.
I do too. That's why I think it's close.
I'm going to give Vic Fangio the edge in this one.
Okay. So that we're also going to do upsets of the week. I'm assuming this is your upset.
It is.
Okay. Bears are going to win.
I don't know why people find this so hard to fathom. I might be the only person in Chicago media picking the Bears this week. The Texans are good. They're not a great team.
I don't find it hard to fathom. I can see the
Bears
winning.
What, did they go 8-8 last year and barely get in the playoffs?
Yeah, with Brian Hoyer as the quarterback.
I get it, but they got Brock Osweiler. It's not like an amazing upgrade. Okay, physically he's younger, but he's young.
Lamar Miller should be better.
Yeah. You know?
Don't forget about him.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Hopkins is a stud.
He is.
So... And he's been really good without good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So that's the situation.
But again, is Brock Osweiler a good quarterback? He could be.
Well, should
but
be
is he going to be good in Week 1?
Yeah, I don't know. All right. So that's going to do it for our Bears-Texans preview. We are going to, as I mentioned, move on to some other NFL games. And we're going to continue to do this throughout the season. We'll keep track of some of our predictions. And we'll always usually start in the NFC North, keep it somewhat local, and dive out to some of the other bigger games across the league. So let's start here down in Tennessee. It's the Vikings at the Tennessee Titans. The Vikings are 2.5-point road favorite. 2.5-point road favorite. This game will be also on Fox at noon, so they'll be going up against the Bears and Texans. What do you think about this one with the Vikings going on the road? We don't know who their starting quarterback is going to be at this point, Sean Hill or Sam Bradford. I think you got to just put Bradford out there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Sean Hill?
Yeah.
Come on.
My two thoughts on this whole Teddy Bridgewater thing is when you see the emotion from his teammates, throwing their helmets, some tears in their eyes and stuff like that, it tells you that, one, they love a Teddy Bridgewater. And two, they probably thought this guy was ready to take the next step. Let's face it, Teddy Bridgewater of last year is not a big loss. But maybe they thought something special, an improvement was coming out of Teddy Bridgewater this year. Because I don't think, just based off of last season, adding Sam Bradford is much of a difference for the Vikings. I thought that was a great move. Yes, they gave up a lot to get a Sam Bradford, who I know you just hate. But... I think.
Well, I understand the move. I would personally never trade that much for Sam Bradford. But it tells me two things. It tells me, one, they really believe they have a good football team this year. But it also tells me, too, that they're not sure that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be ready even next year.
Right. And it's a good message to send to your team.
We're
bringing in the first overall pick from a few years ago. Guys, we're still in it. We're going for it still.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that off the top of my head I could ever dream up a scenario where you would give up a first-round pick, a first and a fourth-round pick for Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
But seeing this unfold the way it did, this is that scenario.
Yes.
Which is like the only scenario where it would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, your window, though, here's another thing, another subplot to the Vikings season. Eventually, Adrian Peterson's great years are going to run out.
Yeah.
He's going to run dry.
And that might be after this year.
Yes.
Or this year. Mm-hmm. So, and that might be a reason why they did this. All right, who do you got in this game?
Vikings.
Still. Yeah, I do too. Mariota, the Titans, should be improved, but I still got the Vikings. They should be able to run the football. 2.5 points. They should cover that. and the Vikings win. All right, moving further south. The entire NFC North is on the road at the AFC South this week. So the Packers head to Jacksonville. The Packers are a five-point favorite over the Jacksonville Jaguars, another one of these teams in the AFC South that we think are going to be improved this year. This is also a noon game on Fox going up against the Bears game. Who do you got in this one?
I like the Jaguars. Not winning. Covering. It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. The Packers' defense is not that good.
Yeah, but what about the Jaguars' defense?
It's not that good. That's why it's going to be a shootout.
They've added some guys. I mean, yeah. Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack.
Rookies.
Dante Fowler from last year.
Rookie.
Yeah.
He missed all of last
year. But talented guys.
Yes, yes. But rookies.
Okay.
You know, Malik Jackson, I'm sorry. They gave him like a – they paid a small island for him. You know, he's not – I don't know. Give me Derek Wolfe.
I'm very tempted to make this my upset of the week. Mm-hmm. By the way, our upsets are straight up.
Yeah.
Who's winning the game? Our locks are on the spread. I'm not going to go as far as to say that the Jaguars actually win this football game. But I do think they cover, and I am going to go ahead and lock that up. Jaguars covering
wow.
the 5 points at home against the Green Bay Packers.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I like that.
Yeah.
What's that from?
That's from Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
When they're yelling
at
each other.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So that'll be our lock it up sounder for the year. I got to come up with something for upsets. I didn't get to that today. I gotta be creative. I can't just throw something out there.
Well, you've already quoted two Will Ferrell movies.
That's
true. He is in Wedding Crashers.
He is.
Yes.
That might be his best role ever, by the way.
The Meatloaf
Man. All right. So you're picking the Packers?
Yes.
Okay. I'm locking up the Jags at home, 5 points. Give me that. Lions at Colts. Also a Fox game. This is at 3:25, though. Colts a 3.5-point favorite at home over the Detroit Lions. This is not a very, it's not a game I'm very excited
about.
Well,
Andrew Luck's coming back.
Yeah, but I don't think the Colts are that good.
No, but Andrew Luck makes them significantly better. I mean, this is like people talk about the Bears' strength of schedule, you mm-hmm. know, because it's favorable for them. But it's because Tony Romo was hurt last year, but now Dak, he's hurt again. So, anyway, forget that. Forget what I just said. But the Colts, I mean, they were bad last year because Andrew Luck didn't play. You know, he was hurt. And he struggled when he was in. Now, I think you can raise your expectations a bit for the Colts just because of Andrew Luck.
All right, I'm going to take the Colts too, but I don't feel great about it. It would not surprise me if the Lions win this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to tonight. We apologize if you're listening to this by Friday. This game will have already happened. It is a Thursday night game. Panthers at the Broncos. Super Bowl rematch, 7:30 on NBC. Very interesting. The Broncos beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl, but things happen. You lose Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So the Panthers come into Denver as a 3-point favorite, actually. Mm. On the road against the Super Bowl champions with plenty, obviously, to play for, looking for some revenge. What do you think about this game? It's going to be fascinating. I just can't believe there's actually football tonight.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait for football
tonight.
Yeah. Real football. I find, like, in these revenge games, the person who is looking for the revenge comes out on top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton, he finally plays well, as opposed to having Von Miller on his back, you know, the entire game. So,
and let's not forget the Broncos have lost plenty on defense too.
Right. I think the Panthers are going to give. Sorry, Adam. Trevor Siemian, your boy from Northwestern, is going to have a long night ahead of him.
Yeah, that's another part of this. I mean, Trevor Siemian, seventh round draft pick.
Look, Peyton Manning was not good in Super Bowl, but he was still poised and still made some big throws when he had to.
Well, Siemian's seventh rounders.
Yeah, he was seventh round.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that he's a starter.
For the defending Super Bowl champions replacing Peyton Manning. Look, we all know their draft pick, what's his name, Paxton Lynch, is going to be their starter eventually.
Eventually.
But, yeah, this one, give me Luke Kuechly, Cam Newton in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Panthers, too. All right, our last NFL game we're going to look at here. Patriots at Cardinals on Sunday night. This is 7:30 on NBC, another marquee game. Patriots going on the road. This is one of the better games of the week, obviously, if not the best game, between two teams that I wouldn't be surprised if they end up playing each other in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And this game starts out in Arizona. The Cardinals, a six-point favorite.
Yep. Yep.
That spread shocks me a little.
Hit that lock button.
Oh, yeah? Right,
yeah, yeah.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
So we're going to lock it up.
With who are you locking?
The Cardinals.
Wow.
They cover.
Covering a touchdown at home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they win by like 10.
Really?
Yeah.
No faith in the pass.
Like, I love me some Jimmy Garoppolo. I do. All right? But this is going to be a long game for him.
Okay.
It is. The Arizona Cardinals are very good.
They are very good.
And they're going to get their offense rolling. And you know, once the Patriots fall behind, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be pressed to make throws they don't want him making at this point in his starting career, these four games. And I think it could be a long night for the Rolling Meadows product.
All right. I actually think the Patriots are going to be 3-1 by the end of this four-week stretch with Jimmy Garoppolo as their starter. But I think they lose this one, too.
Do they cover?
Yeah, I think the Patriots still cover. I think that spread's a little high. But I understand it. A lot of it, obviously, has to do with the fact that Tom Brady's not playing.
Exactly.
Still a really good team, though, in the Patriots. All right, so you lot, did you give an upset? Oh, yeah, the Bears. That's right.
Yeah, feed the Bears. Yeah. How about that? What is up with that? Why did they go?
I don't know what that is.
You know what I'm talking about?
Feed the Bears. Yeah, it's a hashtag
on
Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter, NFL announcement. Why did they go Bear Down?
I have no idea.
I mean, they have Go Pack Go and the other sayings for other teams.
Feed the Bears. I don't know. I didn't give an upset. Here's my upset. Buffalo at Baltimore. The Ravens are a three-point favorite. I think the Fighting Rex Ryans go in there.
Tyrod Taylor!
And beat the Ravens. I still don't think it's a very good team.
You just don't like Mark Trestman.
Maybe not. I like Mark Trestman.
Great guy.
Great guy. And I think he's good as an offensive coordinator. But think about year two, everywhere he's been throughout his career. Usually doesn't go very well. And I think that's a factor. I think Buffalo goes into Baltimore and wins. Let's give our Super Bowl picks, which is obviously something we'll only do this week. But since it is our first show of the regular season, who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
I'm torn between a winning. Well, I guess I am torn between these two teams. It's either going to be the Cardinals or the Seahawks.
Okay.
I think the winner comes out of the NFC this year. I like the Patriots reaching the Super Bowl from the AFC, but I'm leaning Cardinals right now.
Okay, Cardinals over Patriots?
Yes, yes.
This is interesting. I have that same Super Bowl, but I have the Patriots winning.
Okay.
I think by the end of the year, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady's back.
Another revenge tour, right?
Yeah, they'll get revenge on the season opener in Arizona. I'm going to give you a bonus here, though.
What, there's another Super Bowl?
No. Here's the team I think the Cardinals are going to be in the NFC Championship game. And I was really tempted to put them actually in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But I just think the Cardinals, the way they've been going the last 3 years, are really kind of put together this year to make that jump. And they're going to be more experienced in this game. It'll probably be in Arizona, too. I think the Vikings are in the NFC Championship game.
Sam Bradford and all.
Yeah, I think, and here's the thing about that. You're killing me for not liking Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sam Bradford is, you know, that great of a quarterback. But this is the best team he's ever been on.
Yeah.
This is the best team he's ever been on. And I think Laquon Treadwell is going to, you know, be a star pretty quickly here and be a big option for him to throw the football to. You still have Adrian Peterson.
Stephon Diggs.
You have a great defense. And I think, but you know, the Vikings are just good enough for Sam Bradford. And the Sam Bradford is going to be just good enough for this Vikings team, if that makes sense. And the other part is, I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is that great either.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's a solid quarterback. But I don't think he's that much better than Sam Bradford is. So the point here is, I don't think the jump in talent is all that different. Now, if Bradford hadn't come there and you're going Sean Hill, I never would have done.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why I love the move.
Right. I think, and that's why. And if it comes out in the NFC Championship game, then it's probably worth that first round pick. I like the Vikings. I think they're going to win the NFC North. I think they're going to be a solid team in the playoffs, too.
I also think Mike Zimmer is one of the, I don't know if underrated is the best word to use here. He's a very good coach.
I love that hire at the time, and I think he's doing a tremendous job. Remember, they should have beaten the Seahawks in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Blair Walsh makes that kick, and they're in the second round. And I think they're going to win this division. They're probably going to be hosting the game again. They're going to be in that new loud stadium in the playoffs, which is going to help them. You take the elements out of it because it's indoors. I think that's kind of my upset team of the year, even though I'm not putting them in the Super Bowl. I just think the Cardinals are going to be too tough. But I like the Vikings.
Now the AFC's got two, just quickly here, two very intriguing teams for me. We mentioned the Jaguars, they're one, and the Raiders. The Raiders could be good, man.
It could be.
A lot of nice pieces on that team.
I think they're a year away, but it wouldn't surprise me if they slip into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly, we should have done this earlier. What is your Bears prediction for the season?
Nothing. Even the Sitton signing has changed my mind. They're somewhere between a 7-9 and 9-7 team. So okay. I've called it down the middle.
We're on the same page there. I had them at 7-9. I actually am bumping them to 8-8.
Okay.
Which is a combination of the Sitton signing and possibly, although the Bradford trade kind of trade changed this, but I was thinking after the Bridgewater injury that the Bears would win one of those two games.
I mean, these first four games, Osweiler, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, this
winnable ball game.
The schedule's manageable.
Yeah.
And so here's what I'll say. I mean, I you can see a scenario where they go 10-6. If they stay healthy, they could do that.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to be that healthy.
If a lot of things, if Kevin White plays like he can, and Pernell McPhee comes back and contributes in some fashion, I think you need some young improvement in the secondary.
I also think there are a couple key injuries, though, from possible.
Well, so is every team, though, right?
I mean, they could really be like 3-13 or 4-12 if Cutler gets hurt.
Right.
Or Alshon gets hurt. Like, if devastating injuries.
Yeah, but a lot of teams are like that, though. Look what happened when Shane McClellan pulled Aaron Rodgers' clavicle out of his shoulder.
It's true. This team was in the playoff hunt last year in December. People forget that. And I actually think they're improved overall. I don't know if their offense is that much better, but it could, you know.
Yeah.
It might even be worse, but defensively, I think they're better. All right, let's wrap this up. This is how we're going to do it every single week. Get your little college football music in here. All right, we're going to do three games every week. Unfortunately, we're debuting this on a not great week of college football.
No.
We go from the greatest weekend in college football history to one of the worst, which is usually how it goes in week two. Here are three games I think are intriguing, though, Adam. Let's start local. North Carolina visits Lovie Smith and the Illinois Fighting Illini in Champaign. North Carolina is a 9-point favorite in this game. It's a 6:30 start on Big Ten Network. Not only do I think Illinois covers, I think they have a chance. I'm putting North Carolina on upset alert right away.
You're on the Lovie bandwagon already?
I just love...
People were going nuts over his win over Murray State. I don't care
about that at all. I didn't even know. What was the score? I don't even know.
I got it right here.
No idea.
It was 52-3. Now
52-3, okay.
I haven't seen an Illinois team blow out a team that should like that in a long time. Again, I'm not the biggest Fighting Illini fan, but yeah. Okay, if Lovie beats North Carolina and he's a 9-point dog, you know he's using that in the locker room, by the way. But yes, I'll start saying good things about the Illini, but I want to see them once they get to their Big Ten slate, man.
Here's a few things about Illinois quickly. I don't think people realize how poorly coached they were.
Yeah,
under Tim Beckman and they haven't had a coach this good in a really, really, really
long. They're
poorly
coached under Ron Zook.
Right. I don't know if Lovie can recruit, but right now the talent there is actually better than people realize, and they have a real ass coach. And the talent is not only decent, but it fits what Lovie wants to do. He has a very good defensive line. This is actually a perfect cover two defense.
Yeah,
they're going to win football games this year. The schedule's hard, including this game.
You know who?
But they're at night. They got more excitement with him coming in there. You know, the fan base is a little bit more rejuvenated. North Carolina's a good team. I don't know if they're a great team. They're ripe for an upset. I think Illinois wins this game Saturday.
You know who their week three opponent is?
Western Michigan.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good segue to your next game.
Well,
I mean, that's we're always going to compare Fitz's Cats and Lovey's Illini, right?
Yeah, that's
going to
happen.
I mean,
I missed, for those that don't know, I do sidelines for the Northwestern radio broadcast team, and I missed the game Saturday because my sister got married up in Wisconsin, and Northwestern lost to Western Michigan. I was not all that surprised by it, but still sort of surprised because it was an upset. And Northwestern should have won the game.
I mean,
they were about to run into the end zone in the final few minutes.
It's a tough play for Clayton Thorson.
Yeah, he got twisted a weird way and stripped. And then a weird play in the end zone. What the hell was that guy thinking, throwing the ball back in the end zone?
Who knows?
So bizarre. Anyway, they get an interesting game against Illinois State at home.
Well, come on, they could beat Illinois State.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Illinois State's become a pretty polished program. As of late,
Northwestern should win this game, no question. But
well, you tell me. I mean, what is Fitz saying to these guys going into this one? I mean, the talent level alone gives Northwestern the edge.
But it should have given you an edge over a MAC team too.
Yeah.
You know, there was
that's a MAC team with one of the best draft prospects at receiver.
Yeah, and by the way, up front, it's been a long time since I've seen a MAC team that good up front.
Yeah. So.
That's a solid team.
Some of these MAC teams aren't too far off from some of these.
I'd be shocked if Western doesn't win the MAC just because of the way they're built up front. It's odd for a MAC team to be that good. Northwestern is going to win. We don't have to spend too much time on this.
Okay.
All right, they should win.
I think so.
Am I allowed to predict that game? I don't know. What are the rules when you're on the broadcast team? I think I can.
You have to predict them every single game.
Okay.
Or pick them to win every single game.
Oh, that's the rule? I don't think that's the rule. All right. Two other games here. Iowa State's going to Iowa. This is always an interesting game. Iowa always struggles with the Cyclones. 6:30 start on Big Ten Network. This is actually going up against Illinois on Big Ten Network, which is interesting. Iowa's a 15-point favorite. I would be shocked if Iowa State doesn't at least cover that spread.
Yeah.
This is always a tough game for Iowa.
Yeah.
Home, road, whatever. I can't believe the spread is that high. In fact, it's one of those spreads that's so fishy to me. I'm thinking it's actually going to go the other way, and Iowa's just going to blow them out.
You think so? Let me ask you something. What do you think about Kirk Ferentz getting the extension? I mean, how many years has he been there now?
What are they doing? But it was so predictable. They spent like 5 years wishing they could get out from under one of the most ridiculous buyouts ever. He has one good season, and they extend him another 10 years.
How many years? I mean,
10.
I know, but like,
it's like
how many years has he been there already?
Oh, 2001 or 2002?
Yeah, a long time, right? Over a decade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. He had some good teams.
I think Iowa's due to go back down this year, too.
Think so?
They always do this. They have one good year every 5 years, and then they go back down.
Yeah.
They'll be solid. But, I mean, you tell me, Wisconsin just beat LSU. Who do you think's the favorite in the Big Ten West now?
Wisconsin?
Defense look really good.
Yeah.
And the quarterback, Bart Houston, I mean, he made a couple horrendous interceptions, but other than that, looked pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Iowa State or Iowa?
Well, yeah.
I'm going to go with Iowa State covering, but the spread is fishy.
You know, give me Iowa then.
Okay. To cover? 15?
Yeah.
All right.
Blow out.
Virginia Tech at Tennessee. This game's fun. It's being played in Bristol Motor Speedway. I can't wait to just see what this looks like.
How are they going
to
set this up?
I mean, it's going to be on the infield.
Yeah, I know.
But think about how big those...
Yeah.
Even Bristol. Bristol's one of the smaller speedways, but it's still a giant motor speedway.
Wasn't that where all the RVs park and party? So there's got to be room. I mean, a football field is considerably smaller in that infield there.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like, but... I'll tell you what, Tennessee, with a tough opener against App State, Appalachian State almost beat them in Knoxville. Look, Tennessee's loaded, though. I give them somewhat of a pass. App State's good. It's a Thursday night, kind of a weird opener. They weren't ready to play, but I saw this team up close and personal in the Outback Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're talented. Almost everyone's back. I think it's a good football team. I think they rebound against Virginia Tech. which made a great head coaching hire in the offseason, bringing Fuente over from Memphis. But I don't think there's any chance Tennessee loses this game. Let me say that.
What do you think against the spread? 11.5 is that's two scores, more than two scores.
Yeah.
Well, field goal. You know what I mean.
I'm going to say Virginia Tech covers because I think they're well coached. But I still think Tennessee wins this game.
Why are they having the game in the racetrack? You know?
I don't know. Why did Wisconsin play LSU at Lambeau? It's fun.
Well, at least it's a football field. You know? I mean, it's...
I don't know. It's something new. This is like literally the only game worth watching the entire weekend. I mean, from a national standpoint. Yeah, yeah. I'll watch.
I'm actually going to watch the Illinois game.
Yeah.
If we can, we'll be in Houston, though.
I won't be yet.
Late arrival?
I'm actually flying in Sunday morning.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's going to be tight.
Yeah.
There's no... third and fourth largest cities in America, there's no flights after the Northwestern game on Saturday night.
That airport in Houston is enormous.
Is it?
It can take you an hour just to get out of that terminal, man.
Oh, great. Then how come there's no flights? Two giant airports, how come we can't get a flight?
No idea.
It's weird. All right, who you got in this one?
Tennessee.
You're going Tennessee. All right. Anything else we need to get to here?
No.
I mean, we covered everything. I hope everyone kind of enjoys this format that we're doing because it allows us to spend more time on other games, which is something we wanted to do last year. But, you know, we're trying to fit a recap and a preview all into one episode, right. And it was all Bears.
Now we can get that all in. Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah. All right. That was our first regular season episode of Intentional Grounding. Really fun to get back to real football. I don't know about you, but... It was a relief. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Bears Texans Sunday, real football finally. Johns thinks the Bears are going to win.
That's right, baby.
All right, we'll see.
Bear down, or sorry, feed the Bears.
Yes, and... we will feed the Bears. Don't forget, look for it on Sunday night. We will have our first post-game show edition of Intentional Grounding from Houston. We'll get that up for you Sunday night immediately following the game, so be on the lookout for that. Very excited about it. We will talk to you after the game on Sunday.